Hey everyone, I'm Alex Cantor.
And I'm Lily Rosenthal.
Welcome to our podcast, Hot Pastrami.
We are coming to you from our favorite booth at Cantor's Deli here in LA.
We're going to invite some of our friends to join us for a chat over some matzo ball soup and pastrami sandwiches.
So join us for new episodes of Hot Pastrami every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. See you soon. Bye.
Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray. Thank you so much for listening to the About Last Night podcast. On today's show, a very, very funny guy from New York City. You've seen him on Chelsea Lately, Adam Devine's House Party on Comedy Central, The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. And you're going to continue to hear about this dude because he's one of the most unique voices in comedy. I'm talking about Thomas Dale. His story is unlike anyone you've ever heard, man. This episode, like most, a lot of laughs. A lot of fun banter between Brad and I and the guest. But Thomas has had a really interesting journey before he got to Los Angeles a little less than a year ago. We get into being a gay man in comedy and in life and opening up to his parents and family about that. And then the struggles with addiction that he endured early on and really trying to find himself and find a happiness and purpose for his life. And comedy has been that saving grace for him. And it's really pretty fucking incredible to hear this dude's story. And he's one of the most likable guys on the planet. His voice is one of the best voices I've ever heard. And you know I've got a thing for great pipes. Not weed pipes. Some weed pipes, but also I'm talking about vocal cords. That's a weird thing to say. But you'll hear Thomas just has one of those voices you want to hear him talk. We even talk about what kind of a Pixar character he should voice. It's a great episode from top to bottom. You learn a lot. We get into some serious shit, but we always find a silver lining and some humor to fill it out. So you're really going to enjoy it. Follow Thomas on Twitter at ThomasDale5. Follow Brad on Twitter at FunnyBrad. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Of course, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Rate the podcast. Give us a 5-star rating and comment on the podcast on iTunes. That helps us rank the charts. We're loving all your Twitter and emails. All the interactions via social media is awesome. Keep that up. Keep up your hashtags, ABLN Podcast. And go to estoymerchandise.com because we got shirts now. We got merch. We got men's shirts and ladies' shirts and tank tops. Estoy, E-S-T-O-Y, merchandise.com. Get your ABLN Podcast t-shirt. Support the podcast. Wear them to the shows. What shows? Well, I'll tell you. Brad Williams coming up and is going to be at the Sacramento Punchline November 28th, 29th, and 30th in Sacramento, California. And I'm going to be with him opening for him. It's going to be a very fun show. We might even do some shit on stage together. So come out November 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Sacramento Punchline. I will be at the Irvine Improv November 18th at 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock working out my Comedy Central half-hour special. Please come to those shows, 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock, Irvine Improv in Irvine, California. Wednesday, November 19th, I'll be at the Hollywood Improv at 10 o'clock. Thursday, November 20th, I'll be at the Ice House in Pasadena at 10 o'clock. And then Friday, November 21st, I'll be at the Hillcrest Center for the Arts in Thousand Oaks, California. And then, of course, November 28th, 29th, and 30th at the Sacramento Punchline with Mr. Brad Williams. Again, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. You can go back to aboutlastnightpodcast.com and get all past episodes with Michael McDonald, Paul Feig, Adam Devine, Brent Morin, Rory Scovel, Chris D'Elia, Ron Funches. And coming up, we've got... holy shit, we finally got the Melissa McCarthy episode under the belt. Melissa and her husband, Ben Falcone, who you've seen in all of her movies. He just directed Tammy, their latest movie together. It was an unbelievable hour. Brad and I could not have been happier. They were so generous to give us their time. They've never done a podcast before. Isn't that crazy? They've never done a podcast. You know, they've done all the, you know, Today Show, Howard Stern, all that stuff. Never done a podcast. We cracked their cherry. Popped their cherry? I don't know. We've also got some other amazing guests lined up. I hit up a few people that got back to me and said they were down. Now we just got to work out the details. I don't want to say it as to jinx it, but it's pretty awesome. So continue to subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends. Pass the link around. Shoot it to them at work. Just say, hey, this passes the time while you're sitting there trying to crunch numbers or while you're driving to Poughkeepsie to fucking drop off some deli meats to your grandma's friend, Scooter, that fucking, you know, needs her meats. Whatever. Just listen to the podcast. Subscribe. Get it on iTunes, Stitcher, your Android. There's all sorts of podcast apps. Listen to it. Love it. Enjoy it. But now, with all the Twitter handles out of the way, the merchandise out of the way, the tour dates out of the way, now sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special, fun, and insightful episode of the About Last Night podcast with Thomas Dale.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's About Last Night.
I mean, if you know, let's call a spade a spade here.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox. Now, as a gay man, are there certain actors that that have played gay that aren't that you like critique like with a? Has that question ever been asked?
Well, I feel like I feel like
Tom Hanks in Philadelphia.
Oh God, I hate any example that has to do with AIDS and gay people. I mean, it's
like, Way to go, Adam Ray. God.
I guess that's like asking me, like, did you think
Schindler's List?
Yeah.
How accurate was it? You would know.
Yeah. Is it too loud?
No, it's cutting off.
Oh, shit. Is it? Okay, hold it. There you go.
That's better. It's like my feelings basically on like anytime anyone's like, there's a parade for AIDS and shit. How come you're not supporting it? I'm like, well, because I'm not a whore, okay? And I don't feel the need to support AIDS awareness because I'm gay. I'm not a slut, like, and I don't do intravenous drugs. So therefore, I'm just not worried about it at this point.
Oh my God.
And then it's like,
can't really make that jump?
Oh, yeah. They're like, oh, well, what? You don't support AIDS awareness? No. I don't support it. I just don't. It's not what I would rather support cancer or something that I can get unintentionally,
yeah,
you know?
Like, yeah. hey, fat guy, why aren't you down at they're giving away free pizza, that new ice cream shop.
Well, why aren't you, like, supporting diabetes?
Yeah.
Even then, I can understand. Like, well, like, now there's, like, a new commercial with, anytime I see a gay actor or openly gay person, like, being the face of AIDS awareness, I cringe. I'm like, can you please not, like, the guy from Modern Family is the face of it on the commercial. I'm like, because there are still people in the middle of the country that are like, see them faggots, them spreading them AIDS, that's why he's up there talking about it. And it's like, stop it.
It's like, no, other people get it.
Yes,
too.
Exactly. And
it's
we
fine.
Yeah.
So like when you drive around West Hollywood and you see the billboards, one in every three African American gay men have
exactly.
AIDS.
Yes.
You're like, wait, what? No.
Yeah, I'm like, stop it.
Don't give them fuel.
Yeah, exactly. They're perpetuating it. I'm like, stop that. Like, just AIDS is in, just don't be a whore.
Right. Like, yeah, it's like going in the South and just having a billboard up, be like, what? One in every darkie cooking, like five darkies commits a murder. You're like, no!
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly.
Don't, like, because you're absolutely right. That would make every single person that's like, you see,
that's slightly on the fence about it. Yeah.
Right. You tell them, man, I don't know why, like, I get, like, back in the day, the disease was kind of associated,
anymore. Right. Well, what happened, because I've looked back into it, and, you know, I've always curious what happened in the 80s then, right? Because I don't think any of us were infants or whatever.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think what happened was it spread quickly there because gay guys then weren't worried about impregnating each other, so they would just
fucking
with no condoms and coming at each other, and so therefore it spread like that. Yeah. Like that's I think how it happened. Like,
just when you think you have a good thing going,
right?
Stupid AIDS,
exactly.
Yeah, coming to ruin your party.
Yeah, but that's America, man.
Exactly.
Like, oh my God,
you can't give AIDS up for adoption. You know, it's really just the issue.
I have to take a moment for that line. Oh my God.
Our guest is Thomas Dale.
Yeah.
Tom, I met you. Can I call you Tom?
I despise
I'm so glad
Tom.
I asked
him. I despise
because
it.
Because I hate people that give nicknames without
confronting. I prefer
T. Ain't that right? Ain't that right, A-Ray?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I prefer tea. Yeah. I actually,
I don't mind that nickname.
I refer to myself in nicknames in third person. In like, I call myself either T Dale or T DZ.
T DZ is
dope. T DZ. Right. Yeah.
Any family members call you T DZ?
No, they refuse. They call me Thomas or Tommy. Tom is unacceptable.
Tommy, yeah.
Tommy's fine. Yeah, okay, I like Tommy. Yeah,
it's endearing.
Yes, exactly.
Tom sounds like you just opened a Wells Fargo.
Yeah, he sounds like a dick that doesn't want to give you your refund.
Yeah. Sounds like the guy who's always having a bad day at the bank.
Exactly.
And like you're coming into take out a lot of money maybe because you just got a great residual check from you know some sort of you know empty nest guest star you did in 1994.
I could have sworn you're going to bring up your According to Jim right there.
I know, I thought about it, but you know what, I think I've been referencing it too many times on this podcast.
Oh wow.
You
finally getting
where in New York did you grow up again?
I grew up on Long Island. I was born in Queens.
Difference between those two places?
Yeah, well, Queens is more of a borough.
Right.
Long Island is a suburb.
The accents are different. I think that's what I was first taught about it.
Yeah. Well, the accents, my accent
Long
is a
Island,
mix.
Right?
Yeah, I have that. And my parents are from Brooklyn, so I have their accent and my accent. And it just becomes this.
You've got a great voice.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Like, I've heard it's actually soothing.
I agree. If I could record you and like have some light, like on a white noise player,
to
be like, I don't know, tonight I feel like some babbling brook,
some TDZ,
some TDZ, maybe a little lightning storm at the end. I'll conk right out.
Exactly. I'm like, you are sleeping.
If you could be any Pixar, because I'm sure you want to do voiceover, right?
I'm not going to say who. I go in for voiceover stuff, yeah.
If you could be any animal in a Pixar movie, because I think we all fantasize about that.
Yeah, that's an awesome question. If I could be any animal in a Pixar, I would say, I would have said first, like an evil snake, but because of the gay issues I have, I don't want to do that, because that, again, they would make me some like...
With a lisp.
I'm not fortunate
enough
to get...
The snake is, if you were to, like, say any of the animals that, like, had some gay tendencies, it probably would be the snake, right?
So, but, and I, my spirit would want that, but I'm not, I don't get the good fortune of going with my first joy.
Yeah.
So, because what society has done to me.
Sure.
So, I would go with my second animal. I would say... Oh, God, I was going to say a seal, and that's freaking gay, too. God damn it.
How is a seal gay?
It's too early. You know what it is? It's
Brad got so defensive as if, like...
listen, man.
Like, he was... Gay. Well...
Well, because they got the little hands, like... with the little hands.
I have little hands. What are you talking about?
You have bigger hands than a seal, though.
Hardly. I'm not saying I'm a huge defender of the seal, but I'm pretty sure if you threw a beach ball at me, I would instinctively balance it on my nose. I don't know how, but I just have that. I have that skill set. Maybe it's a dwarf thing. Maybe it's Orange County. I don't know.
See, I immediately went to you voicing like a cartoon Seal the Singer in a Pixar movie.
Seal the Singer, like Married to Heidi Klum, that one?
Yeah.
So are you calling him an animal? You're a terrible person.
I mean, that scar, dude. It's like definitely
that's
not
horrendous.
No. He's one of my favorite artists of all time.
Sure. Well, that
ask me to sing any Seal song right now. I'll give you
Do Kiss from a Rose because I love when you sing.
Oh man,
there is so much I can tell you. So much he can say.
This takes me right
back. Why is your singing voice deaf?
I mean,
I don't want to real sing
on the podcast. I was joking.
Well, I was trying to pretend that you were serenading me with rose petals. You ruined my whole thing. I mean, can I have nothing?
There is some.
Can I have nothing in this world?
Sorry, I went straight to the deaf
you
seal.
Went, yeah,
deaf seal. By the way, that's if I had a Seal cover band, it'd be called Deaf Seal,
amazing.
And I'd sing all of his songs,
son.
Damn it, don't mind, I can tell you.
All right.
They should have the cartoon character be Deaf Seal. A Deaf Seal cartoon character.
Whoa.
Would be and he can't do sign language because his little flippers are too short. So they're constantly like, why is he waving at us? He's trying to talk.
I think this podcast finally crossed the line.
Yeah. You know what, though?
Oh, well,
also crossed the line, but also came up with a great story idea for a cartoon.
Someone's writing that down right
Deaf
now.
Seal.
Like, oh, no. I'm putting Deaf Seal cartoon on Kickstarter. That's going to happen. This will be funded. I'm going to SeaWorld, do all the research.
Just trying to do sign language.
What did you watch cartoons growing up in Long Island?
I mean, I was very big into like Animania as a kid, literally, like Animaniacs and you know, like all those
That has an impact on your comedic...
DuckTales. Yes. Loved DuckTales. Yes, yeah, loved DuckTales.
I got to do it.
was DuckTales a gay cartoon?
No, I'm saying you got to do it.
All right, they said gay cartoon. So yeah. You know,
gay cartoon.
I'm constantly gay. On... I'm constantly
Huey, Dewey,
on
and Louie? For sure they're brothers and fucking...
You know what it is? It's the afternoon. I haven't had enough of the day to build up my defense mechanisms. So everything is...
Wait, what? What'd you say? I'm a faggot?
That guy just sneezed, Thomas. Yeah, jeez, exactly. Take it easy.
I don't know. DuckTales might have been gay. Did any of them wear pants?
Hilarious.
None of them wore pants.
They didn't.
I'm just saying.
Oh, wow. They had their little furry asses out.
Okay, maybe not gay, just furry.
Just like, furry, like, yeah.
Maybe DuckTales were an introduction into the furry culture. Maybe Walt Disney was a furry. That would make sense. The guys in the suits.
The first hipsters. They had the beautiful little beards.
When you grow up in Long Island, what makes you? What's happening around you that's funny? Is it your family? Is it like? Are you just innately like? You came out of the womb just like being a boisterous.
I was just the funny thing, and finally after. You know, getting through the murderous years of not wanting to live, I've now figured out a way to make it wonderful and fun and happy. Like my dad always says that, like when I was born, and this is not a BS story. Yeah. He tells this to me still to this day, that when I was born, my chin like curled up and touched my head. And my dad said to the nurse, "That's not my child." And the nurse literally yelled at him and was like, because he said I looked like an alien. Like my
really?
Chin curled up,
what
touched my head.
Fuck?
I had a huge head. And so now I say to him, I'm like, see, I was literally making like get a load of me, you know, like get ready for this.
You were trying to get a reaction right
from the moment I came out. Exactly. Like,
how does your chin touch your head?
I have no idea. He says it curled up and touched my forehead.
That you look like that sounds like a DuckTales villain right there. Like,
exactly.
He just pops out with a chin
or a crazy seal trick. You know?
Might be. Now we know where it comes from. I've heard of babies having like soft heads and they have to be delivered like via a plunger.
Yeah.
And then they come out with like their heads looking like cone heads.
Via
and stuff
a plunger.
Like that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean,
you've never seen the Jim Brewer
bit? Season finale of Sopranos.
Yeah. Yeah, baby's born via plunger. You didn't know that? That's what happens. I'm dropping a little science knowledge on you.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of the chin touching the head.
I'd never heard of it either. Well, I'm a true original. Let's just remember that.
You are.
You absolutely are. You are.
I've learned, taught myself, it's taken my whole life so far to be comfortable out as whatever I am.
I think
it
does.
Yeah.
Right? But I mean,
all of us, I think, as comics. That's
totally.
What we're doing.
But,
do
you feel like it's taken you longer because of just.
Everything,
being accepted of who you are. Like,
yeah, I'm still learning to accept. Like, it's funny because my set nowadays is really just about my true inner feelings about just I'm just decided I'm going to rip it open and whatever I hate about myself or life or whatever, really, I'm not going to sugocoat it anymore. And I had this
great
guy.
What a great place to get to, man.
Oh, like, dude, it feels so amazing.
So cathartic because as much as stand-up is... People like you know will mention that like it is somewhat therapeutic,
right.
But it's like I don't think you ever go up there wanting to like use it for that because performing at an entertainer and I don't want to seem like there's a cry for help or that like this is like but when you can still make it funny but tap into that seeing you at the Venice Underground the other night and the last time I saw you I think was probably when we did when
Adam
you had me
Devine.
On your show. No, a house party, but then your show, Thomas' show.
Oh, yeah. You were there for my set? Oh, cool.
I said for about half, I believe, yeah.
That was during when I was starting to work on this
1,000%.
Yes.
And seeing it at the Underground, man, just so raw, but you didn't lose any of, like, I'm still a comic here to make you
exactly,
laugh.
Exactly, right.
But you could tell that you were, like, there was another layer of you tapping into some shit.
Yeah.
And it was, it was really awesome because a lot of people don't want to go there because... Yeah. It's really,
it's hard.
It's vulnerable. First, I look back at like my comedy I just hit 8 years July 1st, and like I look at my Ferguson set that I did 2 years ago, and I'm like, oh. It's the pop comedy that I was doing.
Yeah.
I used to do Love Me, Accept Me, I'm here to make you laugh and just make you smile. And
you came out very like, hey, I'm a comedian.
That's how I used to always be, and it was great and all that. But now, like the past year and a half, and I have this thing where I'm like, it's weird that ironic that I had it because I'm from New York, a comic originally, and I said I had to come to L.A. to get real, which is really crazy.
Yeah, because usually it's exactly
the opposite. Yeah,
you gotta leave here.
Yeah.
Start going on the road before you start writing stuff like that.
And like I was able to just get away from everyone, and I had this guy. I did a spot at Cantor's, the Kibitz Room there, and the audience just was very like, they remember Pop Thomas, and then I was doing my stuff now, and this dude hits me up on Facebook, and I was like, you know, he was like, I was like, so why aren't we friends here on Facebook? This hot straight boy, by the way. I love him.
And, by the way, I love your old joke on Ferguson on your set where you said, I love you straight people. I come from a long line of them.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. It's those little lines where I like people to get so realize funny, you man. Made me.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gay people didn't just come here on a
right,
fucking
exactly.
spaceship.
You
or
did this.
Yeah.
Thanks. Keep up the good
and
work.
Still, when, blame I'm sorry yourself. To it was just so. I know you don't maybe like that set because it was old you.
Right.
But still, like, very smart. Like, I like people when you can have great stories and then also pepper in like great lines to kind of like bookend it, like where you said, like, you know, you guys can listen to my jokes about being gay and it's not going to make you
right
gay.
It's not going to make
so,
right exactly
such a funny observation because like
you that, could laugh it won't turn you gay
totally
yeah.
And because like there are even though that is a joke there's enough straight people who are so
totally.
Ignorant and also unaware that they'll create ridiculous stereotypes or possibilities. Like, there was probably a straight dude in that audience when you said that.
Absolutely.
Goes, oh, thank God.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you know? Well, it's through comedy experience. Like, I've seen them do it in the audience, and I've had to, like, I'm like, it's crazy that I've had to tell them, stop it, let it out, and then I've had to make a joke about it.
Right.
You know, like, so.
But you, okay, so you were.
Oh, yeah, so this guy then, you know, he said, why, you know, how come we haven't been friends on Facebook? He literally says to me, when you're ready to embrace your homosexuality, we can be like I've embraced all the gay people around the world. We could be friends. And I was like, you know, LOL, whatever. He was like, he's like, no, I really love your set and I've always loved it. He's like, but it just made me feel for you that you haven't, you know, embraced who you are when the rest of the world has. And I go, oh, thank you. I'm like, thank you so. Oh, that's what I've been waiting for the world to get on. But like, don't you realize it's my own inner struggle? Like, straight people have such this like thing that they just have so much power about it. It's like, okay, great. I'm glad you're all fine with it. But you know what?
Right.
I still have a process to go through. Like,
absolutely.
It's like I've been waiting for you to.
Oh,
I'm like, are you serious?
That.
Yeah. Like, I was like, dude. I'm like,
that's gotta be so frustrating.
It was so frustrating. And then I gave him an example of why. I'm like, imagine never being able to create a child out of the love you have for another human being. Never. No matter how much you accept it, no matter how many gay characters get on TV, I will never be able to fall in love.
No matter how many times you forget to pull out.
Yes. Exactly. Hopefully science catches up and I can come in some ass and get a baby out of it. But, you know, I want to see the eyes of the person I love in that baby.
Dude, here's why I want
that
to happen.
Please add that to your act somewhere.
Here's why I want that to happen. I just want it to happen because I want that scene. Because when I've seen this in movies, I always crack up because of how real it is. When the guy like comes and then like looks down and sees that he's not wearing the condom anymore inside a woman, and they both have that I want to see I want to see two gay guys have that moment of.
Yeah.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Oh my god! Like, like start panicking.
Exactly.
Like, oh my god! I am not ready to have a baby now.
We're at the abortion clinic. Next scene, I'm like, just don't tell my mother. He's sticking a hanger up my ass. It's like, god damn it!
And then how great would that be when then they would have that cathartic moment where like, wait a minute. So your parents would only hate us because we're getting an abortion, not because of our homosexual love?
Exactly, yeah.
They truly do love us, mommy! Oh, my God!
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I would love that movie. Yeah. Please, tell me.
Don't worry. I will create it.
Oh, thank you, sir.
So that's
really where I'm at right now. I mean, most audiences are, I mean, it's great because they're reaching out. People are emailing, they're like, I really want you to find this happiness and this peace and all that.
Oh,
and
after your solicitor's
set? After my set,
And so they're seeing, because they're seeing more of you.
They're seeing more of me, right. And I'm like,
more, but that's kind of cool, though.
It's great.
Because
it is.
Yeah. Because they're getting to know you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And I think that's what you want up there, right? You want to get to a place to where people are like walking out being like,
but I don't want pity, and that's now that you know I'm going through this. I'm like, all right, I've learned to make it funny, but now there's still a little bit of the pity touch, so I have to figure out how not to
scale back
the pity.
Some of the realness, maybe.
Well, the realness is what's making them feel bad because it is fucking. It's kind of
sad. Well, that's on them,
right? But then I throw it in with we all have issues, we all have something that we hate, you know, except for straight white guys, you guys have nothing. So
exactly, our lives fucking rock. I mean, I just went to the bank today, and you're like,
true,
oh
man.
Wow, you're a straight white guy.
Shut up,
money.
I'm kidding. I mean, really though, no. But I mean, you really do have. It.
You get into my family issues right now.
I know. Yes.
Fucking, we could do nine podcasts.
Boo hoo! Your dad never threw a football at you.
No, he threw a football. He just threw it to to the kids in the new family he started.
Well, there you go. Yeah. I feel for straight guys, though. No, you guys do. There's actually a lot of pressure on you guys. So there's
We all have the pressure of the human race continuing.
Yeah.
We're also three white.
Well, no, I don't think we have a problem with that either.
That's true.
We're also three white male comics. It's like, that's fuck. I mean, does the world need more of those?
Well, there's also the ratio of opportunity to the amount that you have. Yeah. It really all balances itself out. I would say, really, straight white girls are the ones that have no issues.
Really? I think there are more of them. More of them are slipping in, like, because there's so few of them. Well, but there's more of them coming up.
Well, not with comedy. I mean, I don't want to get into a banter of industry and everyone. I mean, you know what? Because I've seen girls be just hot and pretty and become famous in 3 years, and then I've seen girls that are really talented in 12 years and not. You know, so it is what it is. When it comes to comedy and industry and business, I truly just believe everyone has their own journey.
Yeah,
and I don't, you know, hold anyone and say, oh, this guy and this guy. You know what? Everyone does their thing.
And you know what? Here's one thing that I started saying to myself, that when I started finding myself getting upset at other comics for making it or getting opportunities, whatever, I just told myself, never be mad at the artist.
Right.
Because the artist is just doing what you're trying to
do. Yeah, exactly.
Be mad at the industry.
Right, exactly. If anyone, it's them. They're the ones.
Mm-hmm. So never look at the comic individually. Never. Be like, that person should... I'm mad at them.
Yeah, it's not like they, they were like, I want to get that job just so Brad doesn't get it.
Right.
No, they wanted it for themselves.
Exactly. And then you just become a hater, which is the ugliest thing. I mean,
that's a big turnoff to you.
It's such a turnoff. I mean, even within... We all have done it. I mean, we've all... Whenever I see the hater in me coming out, I stamp it out. I stomp it out. I don't want that. I don't like it.
Check yourself.
It's just unnecessary.
It's not healthy, too.
No. And I love comics and comedy, and we're all in it doing it. Like, if you can get on stage, that's the people. If you're up there and you're not putting in the time and you're coming in with this entitlement, that's the only issue I'll have with a comic.
Right.
Put in the time. Put in the blood, sweat, and tears. Live and breathe it.
Yeah.
And,
if you're going up on stage every night, then...
Yeah, and if you're getting opportunities, great. I don't care. Yeah, more power. I wish success for everybody.
And there's one thing that gets into comics' heads where they think that... Oh, that guy made it, or that girl made it, so now I can't.
Right,
like,
which
now
is ridiculous.
They filled the spot, the one spot that was available.
Right.
No,
right,
and especially nowadays,
right,
with all the content streams coming in, there's always some way for you to make it.
Yeah.
It's not like show business is going to announce, sorry, we're full.
Right, exactly.
No,
we're done
more.
Here. Yeah, and if you're truly talented and good, and even for the different ones, you know, with someone like me, like, or any, if you're like a different type, if you feel like a minority. That you, some people think, like, there's other gay comics who be like, I have to be the gay comic who gets this. And I'm like, no. You know what's great? If you're different, if that gay comic succeeds on TV, it'll show the industry they want more of that.
Right.
So you do want that to succeed, because then it shows that there's more people want it. Don't want it to fail, because then you're not going to get the opportunity.
Except for Peter Dinklage, because fuck that guy.
Just because he can balance a beach ball on his nose better than you can.
He's sexy, though.
He is. Oh, great, great. Now the gays have embraced Dinklage.
I saw a dinner with five.
Dinner for five.
Yes, he was on it, I believe. I think on one of the episodes.
Okay,
and I was like, he is. There's something about him just very charming and sexy.
Now, is it Dinklage, or is it little people in general that have you're in 2014? Well, you're like, you know what? I'm adding that to my bucket list.
I'm Dinklage. I mean, he's the one who maybe opened me up to little people.
Yeah.
Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're calling it?
Dwarf, little people, whatever. It's fine.
Dwarf. I think dwarf is more scientific.
Because we have dwarfism.
Yes, exactly. So dwarf is a little more scientific. Just also, though, I hate the word. I'm still on the fence about. I think homosexual is really funny, because heterosexual is the correct scientific term. So homosexual would obviously be
right,
but it just sounds weird to me. I almost prefer gay people, though it's terrible.
It's shorter. It's more impactful. There's less S's.
Oh yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like thick
exactly.
You
know? It's just so weird. It's just so like even. I don't know. Like, I've come around to a lot of different terms. At the end of the day, I don't give a shit. I mean, you should see me on Tinder. On Tinder, I'm literally like, I'm terrible. I'm like, faggot, 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 Jew. Like, that's me on Tinder.
Faggot, 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 Jew. How many times a day is that, like, pattern going through?
Through my head as I'm swiping. Faggot, 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 Jew.
If one of our podcast listeners,
by the way,
can isolate that audio and put it up as a ringtone, we will make so much money in Alabama.
You know, that's how they invest in show. That's like that was like one of the takes they had when they were picking out the dogs, like for how they were going to get winners, like first through fifth place. They were like, "No, I'm not kidding."
And I love Jewish people, obviously. Yeah. So let's not get crazy.
What is your type, though?
My type is just everything. Yeah. I have no, like, I mean, lately it's been Middle Eastern. I've been very
into.
Oh, my God. There's something about just, I just want to be yelled at, you know? Like, I just,
oh, yeah.
Just tell me to get into the car and shut my mouth, you know? Like, I just, there's something about it that I don't
and Middle
know.
Middle Eastern
what it is.
Guys are all about.
I mean, don't, why are you getting me all riled up this early? You know? I mean, I don't know what it
love
is.
That.
Yeah, there's just something about it. They're just so, they're hot. I've never been.
I've got five Middle Eastern guys that live next door if you want me to bring them over.
That, honestly,
all they do is wear Speedos and fucking...
Well, Speedos gross me out, yeah. But if we could get them some, like boxer briefs,
yeah.
I have to have them dressed. I need a dress. I need a wardrobe for any kind of
a Speedo is gross. That's good to hear.
Oh, Speedos are disgusting.
I think, and that's,
nothing sexy about a Speedo.
No, it's just like, hey, leave something to be desired.
Yeah, leave something to be desired, except for your pubes sticking out of the side with like it's like a curl. But I've never discriminated. I like all types, Jewish, black, white, Asian, all types of guys. Just, you know, I'm just attractive.
In Long Island, were you exposed to all types
in Long
of
Island?
Very...
Well, in the neighborhood I was from, there was it was very Spanish, Jewish, black, white, and some Indian. Every now and then you get Indian thrown in the mix.
Nice, you
know?
Got everything. Man.
I love Indian too, but I would prefer Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I don't know if I've ever heard gay or straight. Someone be like Middle Eastern.
Yes, Middle Eastern. I think it's because I live in Silver Lake, so it's right next to Glendale,
I
just get a lot of like Persians and stuff all over.
What's a Persian cat call like to a gay guy?
A Persian cat call, like what I would do?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm like a gay Mexican. I'm like, I'm the like they, I cat call straight boys all day long. I bark at them. I'm like, you're a hot piece of ass. Keep it going. Like I literally, but I have no shame because I don't have sex. I don't have intercourse. So therefore,
are you saying only with somebody you're in love with?
Only if I'm in love.
Yeah.
And that was before 8 years ago. Was the last time I did that.
Now is that morals that just like weren't so with you? From
I'd like
the folks?
To say it's because I'm such a good guy, but I think it's just because I don't want to get fucked in the ass. You know, like
you know what? At the end of the day, we all share that sentiment.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
unless you really care for that person.
Unless I
you have a bit about it.
I did it. Yeah, I gave it up for my boyfriend because he was having sex before he was in a relationship
right.
with me, so I wasn't going to be the buzzkill and be like, "Well, I'm so glad you love me. Now you're never going to have sex again." So I gave
it's
it up. And don't get me wrong, like after we did it,
you get my love or my ass. That's all. Yeah. That was a Judy Blume book after Super Fudge, I think. No pun intended.
Yeah, Super Fudge.
Or my love is in my ass. You got to go get it.
That sounds like a
it sounds like a Diana Ross cover, like, my love is in my ass.
You gotta go and get it.
Wait, in parentheses underneath
yes,
you gotta go get it.
Yes. That's the remix for the 90s.
Were your folks supportive of the comedy choice?
Yeah, well, because what happened was before comedy, I had been through this crazy, like, overdosed and went to rehab and was put on, like a whole suicide watch thing.
From what age to age?
I would say 20 to... I started comedy at 24. So it was like 20 to 23 or 19 to 23.
And what was the issues that were surrounding that?
I just felt like my family, I was at the time abusing prescription pills and I was diagnosed with bipolar, blah, 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 blah. And then I had through all the pills, I had felt like my family would be better without me because I felt like I was a burden to them.
Sure.
So I then like overdosed
on
pills.
What a fucking ugly place to get to.
Ugh, so gross. Yeah. Because I have such an amazing family and such a supportive family. It was just miscommunications and some, you know, like some
and
things.
And the pills are numbing you.
They're
to
numbing
anything,
you.
Man.
And to be honest, I don't believe in suicide. I don't believe that. I think it's selfish and I think it's wrong to do to the people around you that love you and care about you. I think it's weak to do that. So I don't support it really anymore. Mm-hmm. I think maybe I was as a kid, the pills were making me think crazy thoughts.
Sure.
It gave me kind of the balls to be like, screw it. Because, I mean, I went in. Like, I woke up from the overdose and was like, give me more because why am I awake?
Oh,
and then, like, they had to, like, call the police and they had to, like, drag me out. I've got a wonderful story from it, but...
Now, it is yeah,
I
mean...
It's a great bit.
Now, who set...
It is a bit?
No, not yet. It can be.
Yeah. But, who set those things in motion? Did you seek help for yourself? Did your family seek help for you?
Because of what I put my family through, I had agreed. I at least owed them that, like, to go to rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went... for 2 weeks, I was the president. by the second week.
All right, yeah, congratulations there.
I was nominated the first week, but I was too new to win.
Weekend.
Yeah, so the second week I got it. I was like, I'm locking this down. Who knows what I mean, I had a 5 shaved in the back of my head at that time, so God only knows.
Nice. But what did that
Well, 5 is my see, it's my favorite number. Nice. 5 is people that I'm just connected to the number 5. Anytime I'm on the right path, it's just very prevalent, like just there in my face. So it's a spirit number.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of thing. It's you know, just we all have numbers that we see a lot.
1,000%.
Yeah, so that's all with that.
And then so you're in like 3 years of
it was just
rehab,
chaos,
therapy.
Yeah, like back
like that?
And forth. That mm-hmm. this and that. Then I was started dating a guy that I fell in love with, and well, that the love came before the breakdown, I call it. And then I was like, I'm just gonna be normal. I don't wanna like perform or do anything. I wasn't doing comedy. I was just like, I went to performing arts high school, so I thought I wanted to be an actor at that point, and I didn't have the passion, whatever. Anyway, after I got through all that, I did my first open mic.
Mm-hmm.
And what propelled you into that? Just
I was like, I just want to do. My sister's like, you really should try comedy. You're so funny.
And you went to the performing arts school, so there's something in you that wanted to be on stage.
Yes, right. I've always wanted to be on stage since I was a kid. Like I've always been in front of the camera and dancing,
plays
and singing,
for the family
and plays.
And,
and always like, I mean,
Thanksgiving dinners,
killing it. I used to cast my sisters. Sometimes they didn't get a part. I was like, sorry, bitch, try next time. I mean, I was killing it all the time. Yeah. Oh,
the
cowardly
lion doesn't have the biggest tits.
Exactly. Yeah. You're just not getting the dialect right. Move it on. Yeah.
You don't have any courage. You also don't have any guts.
Yeah. You also don't have any guts.
Or future in
Take
this
a
business.
Risk.
Yeah.
You'll never work in this town again.
You should be the Tin Man because you lack heart, bitch.
Fucking love it.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And then I started comedy, and the moment I got on that stage, my first show, I said, oh my, when do I get to do that again? I've been
awesome.
I've gone to bed thinking about it, waking up thinking about it every day for 8 years. It saved my life. I've,
how
you
great
know,
is that?
Holy
shit. It has, it's been just.
It became your new drug, right?
It became my new drug.
Stand up, I say this all the time, is a drug.
Yeah, it really is so beautiful.
I tried to take a night off last night, and because I was like, I got, you know, just been doing a lot of shows. Yeah. I got more, so I was just like, take a night off, and went to a friend's little birthday party thing. Yeah. And then at the end of the night, which just like, God, it's just like, I'm there, and like, I'm drinking, and I'm like, talking to them about like not comedy.
Right, or trying to explain it to them.
Yeah, because at that point, you're just refreshing your buddies who aren't in about what and you know,
and they genuinely
they genuinely want to know,
oh my God,
but I don't want to talk
amazing.
About it because I'm living it all the time.
Yes,
And because I, you know, I've gotten to a point too where I you know, I like to talk shop, but not all the time. And I think you start surrounding yourself with comedians who you're not talking shop with all the time. But you can shoot shit like when we were hanging out at college in where was it?
Memphis or something like that.
Midwest,
like, Midwest,
Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri. Yeah.
It was Todd Barry and Thomas.
Yes,
and like, dude, we must have like, you know, at some point because we were at the same agency, talking to whatever. And like friends we knew, but then it was just a lot of like getting to know you shit, and
Totally.
Of just goofing around,
yeah.
And that was the best. And that's where I was like, oh, I'm gonna be buddies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's my favorite thing is the community, the brotherhood.
Yeah,
I said like comedy. I'm very sappy, but comedy is the first place I felt like I belonged. You know, like I love you guys.
That's
like
incredible.
I love comedy. I just love.
There's
my
something
comedy
about
family.
It to where whenever someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, I'm a comic."
Yeah,
walls are dropped.
Yes,
I'm a landlord right now. And the person that moved into my place told me like, oh my God, you're my landlord.
Yes.
I'm a comedian.
Yes.
I'm like, oh fuck,
yeah,
this is gonna be great.
It's beautiful,
yeah.
And even it doesn't even matter the level. Like to me, as long as you are taking it serious,
sure.
And you're in it. Even though people who are like, I really would like to get the nerve to try it. I'm like, try it, go, get up there.
Nothing's stopping you.
Yeah, I just love them. Then there's the people who think that they want it, and I'm like, all right, well go think about it and do it, and then you know we'll discuss then.
There is something though, don't you think, like when there are people who are like on the fence, I'm like, you're probably not cut out for it,
right? Exactly.
Because something like you said, like something
we had to.
All of us, something was in us that was like,
I have to.
I know at some point I'm going to do this, and then I just have to. And then when you so you didn't think twice about it. You're just like, all right, when am I going to be this week or next week?
For me, it was more of how do I do it, rather than should I do it?
Because that's the thing too. Like when you're coming up in just as a human being, and you're like, you start to see stand up, you're like, how do I go? Like, where are the clubs? Now I have to start researching. There's no Google for us coming up.
Know.
So we're like, what do we... I think I got to figure out, do I know a comedian who can tell me where to go and tell me exactly what to do so I don't just show up?
Yes, exactly.
You don't want to
yes.
also seem so out of place.
God.
It's like when I went to a weed shop for the first time 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And you know, I've been smoking weed for 10 years off and on. But first time I went into a weed shop, I didn't want to seem out of place because I want to seem like this is somewhere I've been before. Almost like when I went to a strip club for the first time when I was 18.
Right.
I'm saying stuff out of character. I'm like, hey, what are those? Titties, obviously. Just to seem like I'd been there before.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
And so it's like you walk into the comedy club and you want to be like, even though you know you're new and they know you're new. Yeah. You don't want to seem so
new.
Yeah.
You don't want to just be guys. Yeah.
Which is such a weird thing to grasp because it's like
you have to
you
be
get
new.
To a point to where you're like, you gotta embrace the fact that of the journey of just getting better.
Yeah. And
the more you recognize that like you don't know what you're doing,
is how the better you're gonna be. And there is I've always said to any like new comic, there is no such thing as comfortableness. If you want comfort, comedy is not the place to go.
Yeah, absolutely not.
And the more fear you overcome, the better you become. I said, something in me said, if it's scary, go do it. That'll just make you a better comic. People are like, why are you doing that crazy set on, you know, why are you doing that? Two people in a bar standing with, because. Yeah. I should. This is going to make me better.
It scares the crap out of
you. It scares the crap out of
you. And I can. And, and I'm in a profession where they're going to let me do that.
Yeah, exactly.
That
yeah.
guy over there who fucking works at Wells Fargo, who hates it when I cash empty nest checks, he can't just walk in and go, can I go up tonight? And be like, are you a comic?
Yeah.
No. Well, then shut the fuck up.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just, it's beautiful. It's you know.
I want to go back because you've talked about how your act changed.
Yeah.
And it was more like, at first it was very friendly and very sort of.
Poppy, I like that word.
Pop poppy. Comedy, yeah.
Yeah, and now it's gotten way more personal.
Yeah.
When did that decision happen? Or what was it gradual, or was there a singular moment where you just said,
well,
this needs to change?
It happened when I moved out here to L.A. A lot of, you know, there's a big transition you have to go through in from New York to L.A. Because there's not a lot of stage time.
Right.
You're breaking into a whole new scene of people who have been doing just as much work as you are in New York. I mean, there's this whole thing where everyone thinks you're in New York, you're the hardest workers. We are. Mm-hmm. But they're doing a lot of work here, too. Like, new L.A. comics are putting in the time and they're doing the thing, right?
Right.
So you come in as this new guy and you have to, like, reprove yourself. That was one of the challenges I wanted. When I was in New York, you know, passed at the Cellar, passed at Stand Up New York, Caroline's was, I was headlining, I was doing my thing at the clubs, and I just felt like I wanted a new challenge. I wanted something new. I came out here, you know, I had just done New Faces, so it was, I was like, let me go do it. You know, let me, now's the time maybe to go do it.
It's smart, too, to have like a little bit of
had a little
heat.
Bit, yeah, had a little bit. I had APA out here, like we had, you know, together. So I was like, have a little something. Let's go out there, you know? Mm-hmm.
And that's when you got the Chelsea thing, no?
I got the Chelsea thing like 2.5 months in. I had just gone back to, I wasn't waiting tables in New York because I was making the spot money and doing some road stuff, right? So I was like, all right, I'll pick up a couple of shifts at this restaurant I used to work at. I was back at like the, I was like, I went from like working at the Cellar in New York to like back at like waiting tables
out here
yeah,
and where then at Morton's Steakhouse.
Awesome. I mean, hey,
yeah, if you're gonna do it
yeah,
but I did it because I was like, I'm ready to suck it up again, because I love comedy so much. I just
not,
wanted
and
a
that,
new
and
challenge.
That sucking it up is not a gay euphemism.
It's not a gay euphemism.
It has something
all.
To do with comedy. Yeah. All right just check.
And
just check.
I wish I had those opportunities to move along higher in the freaking business. If that's all it took, I don't even get that. Okay, so side note on that. Okay, I'm not above it. So anyway,
you hear that, Ted Danson? Thomas Dent wants a guest on CSI. Drop those trousers.
You're just laying on the casting couch like, what do I have to do?
Yeah. Basically. So I had picked up shifts, whatever. I was making money. I was just happy to be out here. Just a new adventure.
Fuck, dude.
And then I never wanted to be a writer for a show. And then they had first hit me up, do you want to write for Chelsea? I said, no, I really don't want to write I don't want to be a staff writer. They came back to me like 2 or 3 weeks later and they were like, it's writer performer. You'd be on the show and write. And I was like, great, let's submit.
Done.
I submitted. And then a week later, I was in a meeting with Chelsea Handler. And weeks later, I was on the show. I quit. I left the job. And then from there, I just, you know, started getting bigger road gigs. So then I was able to make my money on the road.
Yeah, because the Chelsea credit, the impact obviously still carries a lot of weight.
And those fans are great.
And they're great, you know. And it's
you create your own good luck, by the way, by having the chutzpah.
Yeah.
Not to sound too Jewy.
No, totally. Jew it up. I love it.
To put yourself to embrace the challenge of coming out here.
Yeah.
And those things happen because
You were just like, yo, like,
I wanted the new challenge, and I'm still going. You still have to go through it. And now, finally, a year and a half later that I've been here, now I'm in the scene. I'm finally getting the spots. And, you know, I'd be hanging out at the store, and people would be like, wait, you're not past it? You're like at the Cellar. And I'm like, it's not about that.
Starting
it's
over.
A new
yeah.
dance, and I have to respect the process that's going
good
on.
For you,
and
man.
I'm here, and I'm willing to do that.
That's a really mature thought to have, because mm-hmm.
Well, because I love comedy yeah. enough,
and I've seen it happen a lot at where guys come in from
mm-hmm.
either New York or sometimes either they're like, oh, hey, I headline in Kansas,
right? So they think that they're owed that same respect right. here, and I'm like, no, I'm looking around, and all these guys, you know, like Fahim, he's one of my good friends out here. He's been out here doing his thing. Of course, he should be. You know, getting up everywhere because he's been mm-hmm. putting the time in.
Yeah.
Who do I think I am coming by? You know, so I looked around and I was like, I want to get. I got my new friends and everybody, and it genuinely started to form. And I never felt like so. Back to the question, I said I'm not going to be doing my Ferguson stuff up here.
Right.
I said so when I do get on stage, I want to be. I said if I'm not up there telling the truth, I don't want to be up there. I'm like, I just want to be real and use that stage time as much as I can because it's rare for me out here at that point. And I just started to just – I just got to a darker place because you're alone a lot in L.A. So
yeah,
I
sure.
just was going through my own – I was saying – I call it – I'm a fucking butterfly. I'm transitioning, you know. I'm spreading okay. my wings.
You are sappy. I love it.
Yeah, I'm so sappy.
So you were a caterpillar when you came out.
I was
out
a caterpillar.
Here.
And now,
are you full
yeah.
butterfly now?
I am full butterfly
and
now.
And if that's a personal question, you don't have to answer.
Oh, no. I am – if you, I am soaring. My wings are flapping.
Maybe you can yeah. voice a butterfly in a Pixar movie. Oh my God!
Oh
just your voice.
God.
Oh my God!
Dude, that's
guess
amazing.
What? It doesn't have to be a gay butterfly.
No, no. It's
and
just
I think
my
it's better
voice.
For, it's just your voice.
Yes, because I do have this like brash New York voice
yes.
too. So it's a butterfly and all his fabulousness being like, "Go ahead, keep it moving. I'm trying to spread my wings here."
Yes, dude. Oh my God! A New York, yeah. a queen.
There's nothing
butterfly?
To see. There's nothing to see here. Yeah, I know. I'm fluorescent. Keep it moving.
And say caterpillar in that accent.
I used to be a caterpillar. Now I'm. Look at me now. I'm. Silk.
If you want my love, it's in my ass.
If you want my love, it's in my ass. You gotta get it.
I wish you guys could all have seen Thomas Dale's face when Adam Ray said you could be a Pixar butterfly. If you flashback,
it was like I told Charlie you could have the factory.
Yeah,
yes.
Flashback to every YouTube video where the kid sees the toy that he wanted for Christmas for the entire year. That was the face that you had.
Because I genuinely love good ideas.
Yeah.
That was a great idea.
Thank you, man. Well, you set it up, dude. That was an
yeah,
alley-oop.
That was amazing.
Okay, so I love that you, by the way, in the minimal amount of stage time that you were getting when you first
yeah.
got out here, just chose to go, I'm gonna use it for this.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
not just going to...
I'm not going to get there.
And you allow things to happen organically, mm-hmm. and I think that's yeah. the right approach because mm-hmm. that's how you... Also, if you're coming in for being like, I'm on Chelsea
yeah,
Ryder.
Right.
Like, why am I not
night,
past
like, who cares
here?
If you did
then
Ferguson,
also, that's
right.
going to make people put up a wall.
Yes.
And then you're going to have to take time to break that down again
yeah.
when you come back around months later and go, I'm not mm-hmm. a piece of shit anymore. And people
yeah,
are like,
right,
what?
Exactly.
Because you don't want to say
no,
that. So you just like.
No, I was doing. I was, when Tommy was playing the game with me at Comedy Store,
yeah.
putting me on at 2 a.m. on Friends and Family.
Dude, I did it
you know,
for 4 years.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I. Something,
and it sucks, but you're. You
but
know,
I loved it.
Good
there
for
was
you.
A six. I was like, we're comedians. There's a beautiful sickness in our head because I was like, because I knew he was waiting for me to just say, fuck this, cross me off the list, I'm going home. And
right.
I saw
good
other
for you
comics
know that,
doing
yeah,
it.
Because that's the game.
Yeah.
With it.
And I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait. And when I get up on that stage, I'm going to kill it. And I'm going to be real for nobody in the audience.
Yeah.
And it's going to be and I left just feeling great.
And that, yeah, and right. Because how good does that feel now
yeah.
that you've been through that trial by
exactly,
fire?
Exactly, yes.
And now, how much does it make you laugh
mm-hmm.
when you see other comics coming up? Like, well, I've done like 3 open mics.
Yeah,
and,
I'm like, dude.
And I'm not passed as a regular
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, I'm it, like.
You just want to look at him and shake your head like, oh, pobrecito.
Yeah.
Pobrecito. Oh, so cute
yeah.
with your dreams.
Yes, exactly. I want to pinch their little face,
yeah,
you know?
Just like, it's hard. Like, no, it's hard.
It's hard.
You got to keep showing up.
Yeah, you got to keep showing up and you have to love it, don't you know?
Yeah, and that. But now that you've done that, now that you've done
mm-hmm.
those 2 a.m. spots
yeah.
at the Comedy Store for 5 drunks
mm-hmm.
or 32
yeah.
comics, no audience can scare you.
Oh no, absolutely. I mean, doing shows in Wisconsin and
mm-hmm.
What's the other place over to the left by Wyoming? And I,
dude,
the other
such
place
a,
over to the left.
You know, though, that's how we look at the Midwest, man.
Yeah.
Hey, a hurricane could take out Kansas City tomorrow, and you'd be like, "What the fuck is a Kansas City?"
Sorry, Royals fans.
Places like Wyoming.
Yeah,
sorry, Royals
fans. There's Wyoming, Montana.
Montana, thank you. Yeah.
I mean, you did Lucas's show, right?
Yes, yeah. I love Lucas.
Good time, right?
Lucas is amazing.
Did a great job with that.
We did a place, Deer Lodge, and it's like this little, and everyone was like, good luck out there. Bring, you know. And they were literally these kind of rednecky guys were hugging me, saying thank you for bringing this to us.
Oh, my God.
And that, to me, that's God right there. That is the power of whatever has created us. That is what my life is about.
Yeah.
Like, I live for that.
Like, and how great are those stories? It's like when you hear some comics say, like, I only do L.A. or I only do, like, L.A., Seattle, San Francisco, New York. You're like, no.
No.
Go to Missoula, Montana.
Yes, exactly.
Go to Des Moines. Go to fucking Omaha.
Some stories happen there. Yeah, exactly.
You're Chelsea Lately. Like, talk about that.
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, come on. No show has done more for comics in the last...
I mean, for me, it did more as a life experience. It really kind of, you know...
That first day when you got in a meeting with Chelsea...
I was
bringing somebody garlic mashed potatoes.
Yeah. It was one of my happiest moments because I wasn't even expecting her to be there. I thought it was just the producers I was meeting.
Yeah.
And she stands up, I'm Chelsea Handler. And I was like, oh my God, this is happening right now. And I really liked her in the beginning. Like, I just was like, you're amazing. And the whole experience was, you know, it was a great experience for me to learn from.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously,
to be around a working TV show is always
a working TV show. I had never, it was my first job, literally. Like, I was just a comic doing road gigs and, you know, like my own road gigs that I was making on my own. You know, like, you know, APA would get colleges and stuff here and there, but it was just me, you know, doing comedy. And then I got that, and I had never written for a show.
What was that process like?
I mean, it's, you know, it's panel stuff. It's really not that.
You're just writing, I mean, 100 jokes for one topic.
Everyone's kind of, that process was different. Everyone was just kind of shouting out. And it's, I work really more in a control, my mind. Like, I would go back to the office and I would write a lot of jokes for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really like the shouting out and that kind of thing. Like, so I don't know. It was.
There's an added pressure to it.
It's a lot of added pressure, and then they've been doing it for 7 years, and there's a lot of people that were on staff for a long time, and there was already office like dramas that they had, and kind of felt like high school again. And
it was great, you just wanted to go away, do your own thing.
Yeah, it was good and bad, and I was just every day I was just happy that I was there. I was like, and then there were people who just were like, you know, mad maybe at my happiness. You know, like it was like they were like, wait, how long have you lived here? I'm like, a month. They're like,
right.
So it was
mad at the happiness, dude.
Mad at the happiness. Happiness.
Which that should be the name of a fucking. I mean, it could be the name of your album.
Yeah, man.
If my love is in my ass, you gotta go get it. Does it work out? Because that still to me is the top
my
choice.
My love is in my ass. You gotta go get it.
But I was gonna say because your positivity is like endearing and encouraging and like I want to be around as much as possible.
Yeah.
But I can see how people like that who, you know.
Rightfully,
the bitterness and the personal frustrations.
Right,
when those start to really creep in, you start to look at the people who have like this, like it's gonna work out, and being like, is it, man?
Yeah, right.
Because it ain't for me.
Yeah, right, and you have to like. Just...
I'm still a fucking caterpillar, all right. You and your butterfly, you and your fucking wings.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like that's a bummer that people like, but you have to in the balance.
You have
of
to empathize.
Out, yeah, you do.
Because at the end of the day, we all go through it. Yep. I've been in places where. Here's my thing. I think the reason. Why I'm always so positive and happy, as I've said, I don't have the I don't get to have that privilege of sadness because I've been to a place where sadness almost killed me, so I can't really do that. Well, like when people
right,
like,
so you don't allow yourself to even be sad anymore.
I try not to be. If
because it taps you into that.
I just don't know how to control it or deal with it. Maybe it's a weak mind.
But you also have the perspective. It's like it's like someone that comes here from a third world country to see some person that has it all. Be like, my air conditioner only works in three of the four rooms of my house.
Yeah, it's like that. Like, I even try to say, you know, when I look and say, okay, as a gay person, I constantly feel like the only thing of that around. Everyone kind of has that. I'm sure you've dealt with that, of course.
Sure.
I'm sure you, as a straight white male, maybe there have been times you dealt with it. I joke with you and say that everyone has. I always try to remember everyone has their struggle.
Adam Murray has struggled so hard being that good looking.
It's been so difficult for him.
I mean, we're not going to make this all therapy, but struggles. I mean, you know. From a kid, I mean, it was weight and then parents.
He was a fat kid.
All that stuff.
Yeah.
But also,
we all have something.
But also, there's, I mean, struggles with, I mean, relationship. I mean, like, and also being this business, especially being a comic, man, like you were just saying, like being alone in L.A. a lot. Like, I was just thinking about this the other day, like how much I'm just with myself all the time.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
getting to a place to where sometimes. I was like, okay with that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I'll go on the road and I'm like, man, mm-hmm. And when I can bring somebody, it's a lot of fun. And there's times I'm like, I do want to be by myself.
Alone.
I love
Absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
And then there's times when there's too much of the alone that it's like,
well, you can go crazy.
Yeah. And you start to like, you know, really miss certain things and not question like the career path, but being like, God, I want to get, you know, motivates me to get to a point to where I can have more control about like doing a show there so that I can spend more time with the family or more time, whatever it is it's making.
Uh-huh. But I think at the end of the day, everyone just wants that, no matter who, you know, you can't rate the scale of troubles. I think at the end of the day, everyone is on, you're here for a personal journey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether it's good, it's good for everyone, and it's bad for everyone. And then some, there's a lot worse. And then there's some, there's amazingly great. So, I mean, you can't be like, oh, well, you should shut up because you don't have it that bad. You know what? They always say, there's always someone who's got worse. I say, focus on your journey.
Sure.
Try to spread happiness and love, and that's the whole thing.
Yeah, and because when you have that attitude of, oh, you're not allowed to be depressed because of whatever life situation that you're in, then you get something like Robin.
And
what happened there where he thought like, okay, well, I have no right to be depressed because look at all I have. No, you still do.
Right.
Because you're still going through your own shit.
Exactly. Yes. You're right. Fun. Yeah. And that's what scared me about that was that I was like, oh my gosh. So does it never end? You know, like it seemed to have everything. And then it's like, oh my gosh. Like I was, cause I was like, comedy has saved me. So I was like, well, I always looked up to Robin as someone who he was able to use his mania and manicness on stage and it saved him. So I was like, oh great. It can work.
Identify with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so when that happened, I didn't have mourned for it for a minute, gave him his respect, and I couldn't like think about it a lot like everyone did. I was like, I have to move on.
It sounds like, I mean, from what I just have heard from there was a memorial at the Comedy Store Forum and some other personal stories I've heard. It sounds like he did a lot of drugs, man.
Of course, yeah,
like,
he did.
And I
he
think
did,
that yeah. like caught up with like.
I think that does affect the brain.
Fuck yeah, yes. dude. Yeah. And on top of that, of
who knew? Rachel Lee Cook with that fucking frying pan.
Yeah,
she had something to it.
Yeah,
who knew?
Rachel Lee Cook.
With the egg. She was. This is your brain. This is your brain on drugs.
It really is true.
She was that girl.
Yeah. I don't know. Didn't know the name, but
the
I know.
But cooked the eggs.
The reference.
Yeah, she's the one.
I met her at the Improv one night and tweeted her because I think she's adorable, and I was like.
Did she tweet you back?
Yeah, and
of course
she did. But then she's got.
I want to lunge over the table. Of course she did. I've been treating Johnny Knoxville about Bad Grandpa for a month, and he hasn't said a word back to me. Of course he did. But if I had big tits, he would be like, "Yeah, sugar, come, you know."
if only we all had Adam Ray's cheekbones.
That's
exactly. No, got a boyfriend.
No, they love him.
But wait, she was the egg. She was the one who put the eggs in the pan and was like, "This is your brain.
This is your brain on drugs."
She didn't sound like that for sure.
I'm gonna pull up the damn
this
commercial.
Is your brain how about that commercial that made me you don't smoke cigarettes
that's what I used to smoke 2 packs a day
okay
that is what helped me quit the whole cleaning the whole lot with the Q-tip
yep
nope I'm done
but then how about the woman who remember she they show pictures of her in like high school and then she puts on her wig
oh right
you've seen that one
I've seen all of them
and she's like this is what I used to be and then she puts on hair she goes now I have to do it with my hair every day
my God.
And she put on a shirt that covered up her whole
yep
and then she's
they
like,
work those commercials. They work.
Oh my God. Dude.
I was like, get
they gotta show
to
that
stop.
To every I might show that to my 5-year-old nieces next week.
I might put it in you know when they put the headphones on the mother's stomach? I'm gonna put that shit on my wife's whoever holds my baby, my illegitimate child.
It's gonna happen.
here, this is the Rachel Lee Cook commercial. Hold on. There it is.
And this is heroin.
Ooh. Oh shit.
This is what happens to your brain. After snorting heroin.
She's doing it kind of sexy.
Yeah, I'm kind of hard right now.
Yes. That's what your body goes through. Wait. It's not over yet.
It's
this is what
horrible.
Your family goes
through. Oh, God, girl.
Yes. It's like a mini like Lifetime scene.
Yes, it really is.
You know?
That's going
they
on.
Brought in the, they brought in the Lifetime crazy woman acting coach.
They did.
They go, all right, we've coached Candace Cameron and fucking Taya Leone.
Candace Cameron.
And
that's what's
Melissa
going on.
Joan Hart,
yeah.
The Lifetime stars.
Yeah, I mean it's weird because you watch it, you're like, man,
wait, Candace Cameron, I hate her.
Because she's a get her and her crazy brother fight against gay rights. It's just so ridiculous.
Kirk Cameron.
Leave us alone.
That's
bananas. Didn't he say, I think he said on Piers Morgan, right?
He went off, but she believes the same thing. It's just like, just, you know what? Stop it. Just leave us alone, honestly.
It's truly amazing because, and I'm going to share some with you. When I was like 15, 16, I thought that being gay was a choice.
Yeah, of course. A lot of people think that.
Honest to God, did. Mm-hmm. And I thought, like, what the fuck is wrong with these people?
Right. Did you have any information that was like making you think otherwise?
None. Yeah. You know, it's just
and you
like,
weren't seeking it out.
Yeah, you just see a guy in assless chaps in fucking Long Beach, and you're like,
Well, and I get it.
To be fair, Brad's dad.
Eggs at that guy, definitely.
Brad's dad had a phase where he wore assless chaps, so.
Listen, they were in style. But then I was friends with a gay guy in a college, and I said, like, why did you choose to be gay?
Yeah.
And he just looks at me and goes, why the fuck do you think I would choose this?
Exactly, yeah.
Why the hell would I do this to myself? Yeah. And instantly, that one moment, it was like, light bulb.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
So the fact that, but like, I was going through that in high school. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you could be a fully fledged adult
and still think that.
Yeah,
to me, all of your other opinions are no. I can't even continue a conversation. Even if I was a straight person and someone said that, I would be like, I can't continue talking to you because it's so absurd that you would even think that.
I, you know? That's a deal breaker for me.
And you know what? Like, my dad, like, when I came out, he said, you know, this is a difficult life that you're choosing. Now, what? And then I was like, wow, I can't believe you said that. And then years later, we got into an argument, and I had wrote him a letter, and I said, you know what? I remember that time when I came out to you, you said this was a difficult life that you were choosing. And I realized you didn't think I was choosing to be gay. You're right. What I am choosing is to live as who I am. And that is a difficult choice for anybody to choose.
Sure.
So I do choose to not hide anything about who I am from this day on. So you're right. I did choose a difficult life. That's difficult for anybody to do.
That's a very mature thought, Tommy. Yeah. Dale. I think, if they would have done that, they would have played that pregame speech for any fucking sport.
Right.
Dude,
you're
come with it.
You're... Mm-hmm. You know, you're one of my favorite comics to watch.
Thank you,
Ben. No joke.
Thank you.
And you were the first one, meeting in the first college.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, 10 times now after seeing at the Underground, just because I didn't see a different person, but I just saw, like, other layers being pulled back.
Yeah.
And more of you coming out.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you're going, like, how sharp of a point of view you have of yourself and the way you view the world and recognizing what you've gone through and not, like, shunning that out of your life, but like using it to fuel the fire for you're gonna. I don't want to say you're gonna be a Tony Robbins type, but you're gonna do more. Like your comedy is gonna give you opportunities to really.
Yeah, I want to. I
make
want,
big
yeah.
change.
Yeah.
And I can see that like you
thank
want to
you
do that.
I appreciate I do want to do that because that's what you know I think we all have something like that in us. It's not, I don't think I'm special for it. I think that we all have something.
You are special for it.
Well, we're all special for it. Honestly, we all have something that we should be that you bring the light out and share the light in the world. And I think if everyone can start to kind of see things the way I see them in that sense, not the way I see things,
but if
we all see the light in ourselves and bring it out from our own darkness, I think this world will be amazing and will be great.
Can you write Hallmark cards?
I mean, no shit, dude. There's got to be a quick money-making fucking business startup.
Come to the light from the darkness. Thank you, Thomas Dale.
You're a soundbite machine, man.
No shit.
You're fucking... The slogans or the taglines for Lifetime movies.
Listen, I just want to be happy. That's it. I want everyone else to be happy. I just want to enjoy the day. You know? That's good, it.
Man. Do you have bigger goals with comedy, though?
I want to make movies. I want to have a TV show. I want to just be out there. I want to be given the platform and opportunities to create awesome stuff. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, help change and maybe, I don't know, I don't want to say I want to help change society, but I think as performers, everyone can change society by how they, you know, interact with people. But as performers, we're kind of given the platform to make it on a broader scale. So I don't know, I just want to create awesome stuff and just be able to use who I am, my vessel, whatever, to just do that.
And you have a show every month in LA?
Every month. It's called Thomas Time. It's at the Voila Gala Art Gallery. It's attached to the Lyric Theater.
Okay.
It's in Hollywood, yeah.
And, it's a great spot.
The last Thursday of every month we do it, and it's been really cool. And I use it as a place to just, I want to build a little like, in New York I did it, and in LA, and I want to build the fans and followers of people who get it and just want to see me just be raw for a half hour, 40 minutes of just me evolving in front of their face.
Wow.
It's on where in La Brea? So
it's 520 North La Brea in Hollywood at the Voila Art Gallery Lyric Theater.
There you go.
Did you hear that, Ted Danson?
That's where you can find him.
That's where you can find him. Get that belt loose.
Thomas Dale, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Love you.
Plug your Twitter.
Well, you can go to thomasdalecomedy.com.
Yeah.
And all my stuff is there. If you're at thomasdale5 is my Twitter. Thomasdale5 is my Instagram. And
real quick, what do you post on Instagram?
On Instagram, I'm not going to lie. I'm a fan of selfies of everyone's, not just my own. Nice. I think selfies
are
cool.
We got to talk about this real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
What about the selfie do you love?
First of all, it's a really great angle. It's where you can be beautiful, I enjoy, even if it's not real, you know, it makes everyone look pretty, and it's that's nice. Yeah. If you could feel pretty in a thing, why not?
Who
right?
does care? Yeah. Fucking let's push that for
exactly.
everybody.
I want everyone, so I love everyone's pretty selfies.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, you get to, I'm alone, you know, a lot, so yeah. I'm embracing the aloneness.
A lot of selfies come from boredom.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just like, you know what? My selfies are, I want to experience this with somebody. So here it is. Now you're with me. That's how I see a selfie as.
Wow. Jesus, dude.
What is this guy?
So profound. I've never heard a more profound statement about a fucking selfie before.
Quote machine. This dude. Okay, well, apparently, right when we turn these mics off, we are going to take a selfie together.
Yeah. Awesome.
We're going to post it on all our Instagrams.
Absolutely.
And I think this is the first selfie where I'm pretty confident in saying, I think I'm going to be a better person after it.
You guys are awesome.
So
thank you.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks, Thomas.
Thanks.
So that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get
Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery.
Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.